Welcome to Marriage and Money, a conversational podcast about personal financial topics aimed at improving conversations about money in your marriage so you can reach your dreams together. This is a weekly discussion brought to you by a seemingly financially incompatible couple bonded by the legal contract of marriage. My name is David, your favorite saver, and I am joined today by the spender I've run through my fair share of conflict scenarios with, Heather.
That was a mouthful, but...
too many words in too short a time.
You are my favorite saver, but you're right. We've had a few conflicts, but they've always ended in a good way, with a compromise.
That's right. We've gotten through them.
You can too, listener.
It's not always a smooth path. It certainly hasn't been for us. There are bumps in the road, but you get there and you work through it and you learn something from it too as you go through it. So hopefully we can get you through some of those bumps this week, as today we are going to be talking about common money conflict scenarios. So these are going to be things that maybe it's not the exact situation you've been through, but they're situations... And again, they're not exact situations, I guess, we've been through either, but they're in the line. They're in the same vein of issues we've had or issues we've seen.
Right. They're in the spirit. So I think this will be really interesting. But I think it's good to put it into a scenario versus sometimes I feel like we talk kind of vaguely around concepts and principles. And it's like, yeah, but what does that mean in the real world? What does that mean? How do we do this when crap hits the fan, right? And so we want to walk through these I feel like are very real examples. Like David said, maybe not things, or maybe they are things we've been through. I don't know. But I think it'll be helpful to talk through and kind of say, and I'm sure there's not a right answer.
No.
And the whole point you said are common, right? So there's a lot of common arguments that spouses have over money. And so we just want to give you some tools and tips on if you find yourself in a pickle like that.
And overall, I would say there's a lot of nuance in these scenarios. So just because we say this is the way to approach it or the way we'd approach it doesn't mean you might not have to make some adjustments for your specific situation as well, because every situation's different. But I think our goal is here is to get at what are the core things you need to be thinking about in a situation like this so that you can adapt it.
Right. And the names have been changed to protect the innocent. No, I'm just kidding. These are all made up, but, they're made up with thought. Like they're very similar to things we've seen in our lives or other people or just doing some basic internet research. I think it'll be kind of fun.
I think it'll be fun, too. Are you ready to get into it, Heather?
Should we jump in? Should I read the first one?
Well, maybe I could read the first one.
Oh, okay.
You mind?
No, go
so
for
in
it.
This one, so this is a scenario I kind of dreamed up, and I was dreaming it up because I like to spend money on my car.
Wait, first of all, you like to spend money.
It's a rare scenario, but when I do like to spend money, it's usually on my car.
Got it. Not your wife. Sorry, I didn't mean to start an argument already.
We'll get into that later.
I'm just kidding. No, it's true.
Although, for the record, last night I was talking to you about how I wanted to spend some money on you.
That's true.
But anyway, so Heather, let's say that I have a side gig. Maybe I'm driving Uber or I'm doing something in addition to my regular job, right? So this is like extra money that I'm earning.
Sure.
And then I decide that I want to take that money, some of it, all of it, and I want to buy, let's say I want to buy a trailer. A car trailer so that I can tow the DeLorean to different car shows that might be far away.
And why do you have to tow it? Is the DeLorean not working?
It's working. Sounds great, but right. maybe I might want to haul some additional stuff. It doesn't have a big trunk. But let's just say trailers are kind of expensive. So let's say this is like $5,000, right? This is like $5,000 trailer. And in my mind, I'm saying, hey, this isn't a problem. I'm using the money, this extra money that I earned. I put in the effort. It's not part of our regular budget because we just count on my regular day job income for our budget. So this is really just David fun money that David can do whatever the heck he wants with. So what's the harm in that, right? Do you disagree? What would your approach be? I'm assuming
sure.
The situation, if I did that, you would probably disagree. But how do we resolve that situation, Heather? What do we do?
Sure. So first, she should get to go spend $5,000 whenever she wants, a dollar for a dollar even.
Oh boy.
I'm just kidding.
I feel like Heather, you like to answer these with.
I'm just kidding. That's what not to do. Okay.
What not to do.
So this is exactly why we always tell you that you need to agree on how you're going to handle this situation. So that when these things come up, you don't argue. Like, you already know what's going to happen. Oh, he makes extra money. This is what we're going to do with it. But in this scenario, you haven't discussed it because I'm just going to say, well, we haven't discussed it the way you're implying is, hey, we didn't talk about where extra money would go or what we would do with it. Okay.
Exactly.
So in this case, you do need to get on the same page going forward, but this is kind of in the past. So again, maybe the spouse is okay with it. Maybe your spouse is going to be like, hey, that's fine. I want to keep our money separate. You know what? Great. Good for you. Your extra money you can do. And if I've got a side gig, I can do whatever. But you need to make sure, even if your spouse is fine with it, that you talked about it and you agreed to it. Now, in our situation, maybe your spouse thinks, hey, wait a minute. This is our money. So you shouldn't be going and spending money, even if you're making it. This is our money, and you should have talked to me about what to do before you just went and spent it. And that's more how I would react in this scenario. So this is where I think it's harder to keep your money separate, because let's just say in this scenario, you did make more money than me or you had this extra money. I would start to have some resentment. Like if in a marriage, it's like, hey, I keep my money, you keep yours, but I get all this extra. So I get to go do all these fun things and I get to buy all these toys and I get to do all these things for me. It's like,
and then I have to sit at home and I don't have the extra money. And yeah.
Right. Like, I feel like I would really start to have resentment or resent my spouse, resent you for that. So, I mean, I think, like I said, you should talk about how you're going to handle this scenario before it comes up. But in this situation, I'd be like, hey, not cool. Let's just make a plan for the next time. Like, the money's kind of spent. I don't think I'd make you like go sell the trailer, but I'd be like, hey, can we talk about this and make sure it doesn't happen again and have a plan for what your extra money is going to go for? I consider it ours. And so we should figure out what that next purchase or investment is.
I like that approach. I think one of the things that you mentioned, the main piece you mentioned there at the end was that you wouldn't say, oh, we can't do the trailer necessarily. I think because this is something that hasn't, the assumption is here, there wasn't a discussion about this, about how to handle these scenarios. I think, yes, give your spouse the benefit of the doubt would be my assumption here.
Right.
Initially. Obviously, if you can't afford it, if your budget's in pain elsewhere, then you may need to return the trailer. You may need to sell it. You may need to do something. If this is putting your household's finances at risk, that's a different scenario. Assuming this is not putting your household's finances at risk, I would agree with you there, Heather. I don't agree with this, but let's figure out, let's get on the same page of how do we want to handle our money? What is us money versus what is your money and my money?
Right.
If such a thing exists.
Right. And I would just challenge those of you out there that are like, oh, well, we're always going to keep that separate. I would just challenge you again, put yourself in that situation. If your spouse had a bunch of extra money coming in and you didn't, like, how would you feel? Would you kind of feel a little resentment or like, hey, I thought we were in this together. I thought we had goals. We should be working on things together. So
yeah. And instead of working on our together goals, I'm off spending money on the car.
Right.
And that's just for me. And it's, oh, I'm just all about selfish me. And I'm not working on couple goals. I'm not working on us goals. Yeah.
And not that it can't. I mean, maybe you're like, hey, this time we're going to spend something for you. And next time you're going to do something for you. And I'm not saying don't spend it. Like, maybe you could have gone on a trip together or done something together. But just get aligned on so that when this happens, you know, nobody's doing something that you didn't talk about.
And that is a personal sacrifice for the person that's has that extra income coming in. Totally get it. There's an element to marriage that is sacrifice. And that's part of having a happy marriage, growing closer to your spouse. And when you are coming together like that, it doesn't feel like sacrifice because it feels like you're working on stuff together. At least that's how it feels to me.
Right. Should we go to the next scenario?
Let's go to the next one.
All right. I'll take this one. So let's say every month when the credit card bill comes in, or let's say in our situation, it's time for budget committee to look at where the money's gone. Let's say the wife or myself hides because I know, oh my goodness, you're going to be totally freaking out to see how much money I spent on purchases, stuff for the house. Yeah, maybe it's for kids, like things that you or your spouse thinks, hey, that's frivolous. We shouldn't be spending money on that. What would you do in that situation, David?
Oh. So in this situation, I'm hearing that the details are getting hidden on what was spent because you're afraid of the reaction. And I think there's a breakdown. What it sounds like is there's a breakdown in communication here. There's not that conversation happening around what is it that we're spending and why are we spending it because of that fear. And I would want to it's probably a difficult conversation, but probably have a conversation about where we talk through the spending for the month and back it into our plan. I think this is where that budget planning, that monthly budget discussion comes in so perfectly, because you say at the beginning of the month, here's what we're going to spend. Okay, we want to spend this much on stuff at Target or whatever, or we're going to spend this much on kids' activities or whatever those items might be. And then if those items come in over, maybe there's a good reason for it, but let's talk through what those good reasons are. And if you can't talk through those good reasons, if you're ashamed about talking through those good reasons, then there's probably a reason. There's probably isn't a good reason, or it's probably something that shouldn't be happening. And if it is a good reason, maybe we need to work it into the budget. Maybe it needs to be increased. Maybe that budget, it needs to be increased next month. But you can't get there, or you're always going to be living in fear. You're always going to be living in hiding, or you're always going to be trying to subvert work around your spouse if you operate like this. And so you need to get this stuff out in the open and just talk through actual versus plan.
Right.
There's not a great way to have this conversation without it being a little uncomfortable, though.
Right. So, first of all, when I was thinking about this, if the wife in this scenario knows that the husband's going to be upset, then there's something wrong here. To me, this is financial infidelity. If you, in this case, if you're keeping a secret from your husband that you know is going to make him upset, like, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to bring that drama into your life, right? So, again, similar to the other scenario, this goes back to you and your spouse need to get on the same page. And like what David said, like going through the details in the budget, that's all good and fair. And I think what sometimes couples struggle with is the definition of what's frivolous. So one spouse might say, hey, buying stuff for the house, or did the kids really need it? Two more pairs of tennis shoes or whatever. Hey, that's frivolous. They got a pair of shoes. And I think a lot of times that's more where the argument is like, I mean, it's clear when like you spend money completely frivolous or whatever, but there are some things that are kind of gray that one spouse might say, hey, that wasn't necessary. While the other spouse is like, yeah, but I wanted to do that, or there's a reason. Right. And so I think that's the part that you really need to get aligned on. Like, you know, what do you think is frivolous? What does your spouse think? You know, building it into the budget, spending it. And if you can't get on the same page on that, then I think you need to put in systems and processes that allow you to not have to have that argument. So, you know, maybe there's a spending limit, like, hey, guess what, spouse, you get $300 a month. We're just going to put in the budget and you can spend it on the kids or whatever you want. And I'm not going to ask you about it, right? Or whatever that amount is. So if you can't get past like, hey, I think this is important, it needs to be in the budget, and you can't get agreement, you need to find some way to, unless, of course, this is like bankrupting your life, but I'm assuming it isn't. I'm assuming it's onesie, twosie things. Put in some sort of process or system that you can figure out how to live with this discrepancy.
Yes. And maybe it's a schedule too. Like if the issues you mentioned, kids' shoes, maybe the kids are going to need new shoes on a regular basis. But so what is the right amount to put away or plan on spending every month on kids' clothing?
Yeah.
And kind of,
or maybe it's stashing, maybe it's once a quarter, you get to go right to buy clothes for kids, but right, not every time you go to Target or you go to the store. Right.
So exactly,
again, yes, figure out a system and a process. You got to get on the same page though. You shouldn't be keeping secrets. You know, getting the other person upset. Again, like David said, if you love your spouse, you're trying to, you don't want to do things to make them upset.
Okay. Excellent, excellent thoughts, Heather. So our third scenario, if I may.
Please.
Let's say the wife comes home with a brand new minivan for the family.
I love how the wife is, well, the first one, I guess, the husband was spending more.
Yeah, I led with that one.
Okay.
So the wife comes home with a brand new minivan for the family. Why does she do this? Well, she feels like the car they had previously was no longer safe. Maybe it was breaking down. Maybe there was a big hole in the floor. I don't know. The wife felt like it was imperative that they get a new vehicle and that they get it today. The husband had no idea that she was going to be going and buying this car. Didn't think it was necessary, or at least didn't think it was necessary today. And so this creates some tension. A big purchase has been made. He wasn't aware of it. What should they do?
So first of all, you're going to go for a cruise with the whole family to Dairy Queen in the new minivan. Just kidding. Just kidding. Again, what I started out with, what I started out with, what not to do. Go spend some more money. Okay, just kidding. Again, this is a problem because you aren't communicating. You did something without speaking to your spouse. Don't do that. I feel like in every one of these scenarios, it's a breakdown in communication.
It's
right?
Getting to be a theme.
Yeah, unless of course your spouse is able to spend $30,000 without, unless you've agreed, like, hey, guess what, spouse, you can go spend, you know, $30,000-$40,000 without talking to me, no problem. Then there shouldn't be a problem.
We make so many million a year, it's not an issue.
That's right. So again, you need to get on the same page with your spouse. So you need to talk to your spouse. It seems like the spouse felt like, hey, I wasn't being heard. Like the spouse thinks, you know, one spouse thinks this is unsafe, it's not good, I need a vehicle. The other one thinks, yeah, whatever, you can, you know, drive this thing until, you know, it combusts, whatever, right? So talk to your spouse, listen to your spouse, explain your concerns, listen to what their concerns are, and then get to a plan or a timeline. Maybe you can't afford the brand new vehicle. You know, maybe there's a compromise like, hey, we can't afford a new car, but let's get a used one for $10,000. Or maybe we need to save up. Okay, yes, we want to get this, but we don't have the money today. Let's put a plan in place and put a timeline together. So figure out what that plan is and talk to your spouse. But I think the biggest thing is just listening and hearing out. In this situation, it wasn't like, hey, I just want something new, you know, the newest, best thing, right?
Right.
And not that that couldn't be another scenario,
it
too.
It certainly could be.
But again, it's getting on the same page, putting a plan together, figuring out what you can afford and the timeline for that.
Yeah, and that was really my thoughts on this scenario as well, was that you need to be on the same page as far as what constitutes a purchase that we need to talk about and when we don't. And certainly, when in doubt, just talk to your spouse about it. You know, this doesn't seem like it should be that hard, but people actually do this where they will go out and buy a car without talking to their spouse about it. And I do not understand it. And maybe there are the few relationships where it's like, yeah, they just don't care and they don't think. But if you are the spouse that doesn't care when your husband or wife goes out and buys a new car, unless you're making millions a year, I kind of question how involved you are in the finances, because you should care about when that purchase happens. When a big purchase like a car happens, you really should be caring, because that's potentially compromising your financial goals. And how is it that you're working towards your financial goals if you're not having conversations with your spouse together in steering your finances to get you there together?
Yeah, and I would argue, like, this is one, even if you keep your finances separate, I mean, most people, a car is like the second biggest purchase you're going to do outside of a house, right? And so I would think even if you have your finances separate, these are big decisions that you should be talking about and aligning with together, and isn't probably an individual decision in any marriage.
Right.
Like you said, unless you're, you know, Elon Musk and you own Tesla and you can't, you know.
Oh, you just take the warmest one off the assembly
line. That's right.
The paint's still drying, but I'll grab that one. Why not?
All right. Should we wrap up with our last example?
Let's do it. I'm ready for it. Hit me.
So in this one, the husband, let's say it's David.
Okay. So we got two husband scenarios.
You have been working tons of hours on this huge project. you've been working crazy, and you finally have time to take a vacation, and you take a week vacation, and you want to go with your family. So although there's not money saved for vacation, you are like, hey, I've been working hard. I want us all, I want the whole family to go to Disney for the week. Your wife realizes, I'm like, hey, wait a minute. We don't have the money. This wasn't in the plan. We haven't put money aside. We'd have to use a credit card to pay for this, which is going to take months to pay off this. What do you do?
Well, I've been working hard. I deserve it.
You're right.
I deserve this. Go to
Disney.
This.
You get the Disney Amex card so you can get all the points.
Now I'm cracking the joke first. There you go. No. So that's one of the things. I think people sometimes get caught up in that. Oh, I work really, really hard, and so I deserve to do this. It doesn't matter if I can afford it or not. I deserve it. Well, if you can't afford it, you certainly don't deserve it. So, but apart from that, you need to be. This is another one of those big purchases, and so similar to the last example, I would say you need to talk about, is this the right time? Even if your family really needs a vacation right now, is this the right time to be spending that money if you have the money? But in this case, in this scenario, you don't have the money. So I would argue, no, you should not be taking it at all. But if you had the money, like you have to ask yourself, does this get us closer to our goals? Maybe one of your goals is a certain amount of vacation a year and it fits within your goals. But if you have the cash, if you don't have the cash in this situation, start having conversations around what can we do? What is reasonable? What's a smaller vacation we could do that we could still get the family away, but it's not going to cost us Disney vacation level money. And then if you have in your head, we got to take the kids to Disney, that's fine. But maybe you start putting a little away every month so that you can start working towards that goal and work towards that as a couple. And along the way, you're teaching the kids the value of saving. You're teaching them the value of paying cash and not going into debt for a vacation. I really think, though, that it's all about opening up about what you're... I like bringing it back to goals because having that goals discussion puts it into focus. Does this bring us closer to our goals or further away? And can we do that? And taking on more debt, takes you further away from your goals, whatever they are, in a hurry. So don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Vacation is important, and I would even argue it's necessary. But that doesn't mean you should be spending money you don't have for a vacation. That is not okay. So I think you need to talk through what you can afford, like David was saying. Like, I think you need to appreciate your spouse. You've been working a ton. You do deserve to take time off. Thank you for wanting to spend time with the family. Let's do this. But figure out what you can afford. So find that vacation that you can afford. Maybe it's camping. Maybe it's just a hotel, water park or something where in your town. Whatever. Figure out what you can afford this time if Disney isn't. Then, like David said, then put a plan together for that Disney vacation and get excited about it. But I think the important thing here is don't shut your spouse completely. Don't be like, that's stupid, that's crazy, we can't do that, because it's not going to land well. But you also don't want to go into debt, right? So acknowledge it, make sure they feel heard and appreciated, and then figure out a compromise how to reach that goal and get that need met without going into debt and putting you in a bad financial situation.
Yeah, all of these conversations you need to come into with an understanding of both sides of this discussion of the I want to go on vacation or I want to do a smaller vacation or I want to buy a new car or I want to stash money away so that we can buy it further down the road. No matter what that perspective, approach your spouse in a way where you're trying to understand where they're coming from. Approach them with love and understanding. And the goal is here, if you're both doing it with a loving way and wanting to understand each other, you're going to walk away with a solution that gets you further down the road. Now, certainly some spouses can be unreasonable, where they're just saying, nope, it's my way or the highway. And I don't know what, we're not marriage counselors, so I'm not entirely sure what to tell you at that point. If your spouse is just going to draw a hard line and they're not going to give and they're not going to want to talk about any of this with you and they just shut you down every time, well, that's not a very loving approach, right, to shut down your spouse. So we're going in with a little bit of an assumption that your spouse wants to take a loving approach to this. And if that's not the case, there's probably a counseling session in your future. But
yeah, I was thinking about all these scenarios, kind of the big lesson. And I think they all come back down to communication, listening to your spouse, trying to understand where they're coming from, having a conversation, which then should lead to getting on the same page, right? Your goals, your budget, how you're going to handle money. If you can get on the same page and get agreement and alignment ahead of time and talk through these things, then hopefully you're going to avoid from getting yourself into one of these stressful situations, scenarios that we talked through, right?
Right. And I think you can do that. This is very doable. If you both come at it, understanding, loving.
That's right.
We can get through this together.
Step zero, start with a bottle of wine and have a conversation.
Wine and love gets you through everything.
So we want you to continue this conversation. Speaking of convos, so have a conversation with your spouse or significant other. Ask your spouse how they would feel if you went and bought a new TV or a new couch without talking to them first. How would they feel about that? See if you're on the same page. So for us, David.
Heather.
What is the worst money mistake I could do to make you upset?
Ooh. So in a general category, I would say making big money decisions without consulting me, without talking to me. So that would be, to the other example, like buying a new car without talking to me, or deciding, oh, I'm gonna liquidate all of our investment accounts and put it in some new investment that I just feel like, oh, I found this penny stock, or I'm putting it all into crypto because I heard that's a good thing to do. And then you do it and I find out later. Like, even if your intentions were good, even if your intentions were, and maybe it was even a once in a lifetime opportunity, you have to act now and guaranteed return, I would still be upset. It's like, no, we do this stuff together, and going rogue is not cool. And I'd feel very betrayed. That's where I would come from. I don't know.
Got it.
Heather, thankfully that's never happened. But Heather, right. what would it be for you?
Yeah, I think we're on the same page, which is the good news. I pretty much said the same thing. Like, I was thinking about it, and I was kind of thinking on the spending versus saving or investing. But, you know, and I would say it's hard to say anything about spending, like in a spending scenario, because I don't see that happening and I probably wouldn't be upset. Like I wouldn't be mad if you splurged and surprised me and bought me some expensive jewelry. And you did that once. And like, that wouldn't make me mad.
Once. I know. I've done it once in my life.
But so I was thinking more. So that's where the spending, obviously, if you went and bought a new house or a car, you're right. Like, that would make me mad. So I think it is big decisions, because what I listed here was on the saving investing side. I think I would be really mad. That's exactly what I wrote down. If you pulled all our money out of the stock market, invested in something crazy without talking to me, I'd be like, you did what? Like, so I think it comes back down to the same thing you said, is like making a big decision about our money without talking to me. However, if you do want to buy jewelry for me, that's fine.
That's
the one caveat I'll put in there. Oh, that's, man, the one thing you're allowed to do.
I know. And maybe I need to do that more often, because I did it once. Oh, gosh.
Listeners, you heard it here. We've got it on episode 93 here. Oh, I'll go back and play that one.
Oh, boy. Oh, you've got a good record now of episodes where I've said things you've enjoyed and have noted. So you'll have to make like a best of list.
That's a good point. Little clips of you saying things. It's a great idea.
All right. Well, I think that about wraps up our conversation for today. Remember, you can always email us at marriageandmoneypodcast@gmail.com or message us on Instagram at marriage.and.money. Thanks again for joining us this week. And remember that whether you're a spender or a saver, your best financial life lies somewhere.